somebody here today
using the church Bible, and I encourage you to pick one up, is on the chair in front of you. We're on page 843, which is Paul's second letter to Timothy, and we're going to read chapter 3. So page 843, you can't find it, right, let me come and help you. 843, yes. We're nearly there. There we go. That's it. There. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thanks be to God.
Okay, children, I want you this morning to go and sit with your mums and dads.
Well, we come to the last in our series on the Holy Spirit. Many people have said how helpful they found this these last 5 or 6 weeks as we've looked at different aspects and elements of who the Holy Spirit is and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the impact of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Well, today we come to consider what it is that in the way that the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And in that reading we had from 2 Timothy, there was a very telling verse towards the beginning of the chapter which says that it is possible for people to have a form of godliness, but that who deny its power. And you know, it's very easy for people to have a form of godliness. It almost appears as though they say the right things, they appear in many ways to be Christians, yet there's something lacking. And you see, the challenge for us all is this, that if we seek to be Christians without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day, then we are simply those who have a form of godliness, but we don't have the real power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. You know, as believers, it's possible, as we've thought before, to grieve the Holy Spirit, to push the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives down and subdue them so that we don't take notice of them. And we've seen, haven't we, how wrong that is. We need to be people who display and experience and know the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day. And so what is it, or how does it, or what does it mean rather for the Holy Spirit to reveal to us? You know, sometimes we have a very airy-fairy view of this. You know, the composer Gustav Holst wrote his Planets Suite, which is a very well-known classical piece of work. And it took the world by storm when it was first composed and performed, particularly the ending of the last movement. The sound of the orchestra is replaced by the sound of voices somewhere high up in a concert hall, which just drift off, as it were, into outer space as this symphony closes. And it's sort of a very unreal sort of experience. It's a very sort of, I don't know how to describe it really, but it's sort of otherworldly. And many people think that actually the way the Holy Spirit reveals is something similar. It's very otherworldly. It's not really something that we can sort of put our finger on. It's not really something that's easy to define. There's something mystical about it. You know, the Bible tells us that actually the way the Holy Spirit reveals to us is grounded in reality. It's grounded in truth. And so, as Christians, we don't want to just have a form of godliness. We want to display the power of God in our lives through the Spirit. And we need to cultivate, we need to develop, again, by the Holy Spirit working in our lives, a deeper desire to know God. We need to cultivate a deeper desire to know God and to see Him revealing Himself to us. You know, we all have a pretty limited understanding of how that happens, I guess. The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that the Spirit witnesses or testifies or speaks to our spirit. And there are those times, aren't there, then when we just know that God is speaking to us in some way, often without words. At those times, the Holy Spirit assures us that we are His children, that we are children of God. The Bible also tells us that the Spirit uses the whole of creation to reveal God's presence. But perhaps more common is a question that sometimes people often say, and that is, well, I don't know whether I ever hear God speaking to me. You know, the trouble is we often think we've got to hear a literal voice, or we've got to have, as it were, some sort of zap from heaven in order to think, oh yes, that was God speaking to me. You know, there are times when God speaks that clearly, that directly. And there are people, some of them are not here today, but there are people who say, it was as though I have heard a literal voice from heaven. But you know, that's not the norm. God does speak in that way at times. The Bible tells us the normal way He speaks to us is by revealing Himself through His Word. You see, the Holy Spirit opens up God's word to our hearts. He opens it up to our minds and to our wills. And He brings God's word to bear upon our lives. So, three very simple headings for you this morning. The first one is this: what is Scripture? Well, it's the inspired word of God. You know, we can't imagine what it would be like if there was no Bible. We probably have more than one copy in our homes. And it's difficult, isn't it, to imagine what it would be like if it just wasn't there. We've become so used to having it around. Perhaps we've almost become a bit commonplace with it. That's, of course, something we have to put right. But you know, there was a time when there was nothing written. Have you ever thought about that? There was a time when the Bible wasn't there. And as you read through the Bible, you discover that God in His grace and in His wisdom, way back in Old Testament days, began to reveal His word. And He began to reveal it through the prophets. The way he revealed it was still through his Holy Spirit. And of course, then when we get to the New Testament, the way that the New Testament was written was still exactly the same. God, through his Holy Spirit, revealed his word to the apostles, and they wrote down what God told them. And so from the very start, right from the word go, the Holy Spirit revealed not just the presence of God, because he did do that, but he also revealed the will and the purpose of God to his people through his word. And that word was then written down, and it became what we call today the Bible or Scripture. And the way the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God to us today is largely through that same way, through this inspired word that we have. There are many descriptions in the Bible of the Bible itself. There are many descriptions of the word and what it does. And perhaps Hebrews 4 and verse 12 is one of the great ones, because the writer to the Hebrews tells us this, that the word of God is living. The word of God is active. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. And it has the ability to pierce right to the very heart of an issue. It has the ability to pierce right to the very heart of your being and my being. It has the ability to change us completely. You know, if it was just dead words on a page, it would not have that power. But because this is the inspired word of God, because it's living and active through the power, the energizer, the Holy Spirit, then it has that power upon us. That's why Paul, in his charge to Timothy, in that passage we read in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul reminds Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed. These are not just empty words on a page, they are God-breathed words. They are his word to us. And I know many people sometimes struggle to have utter confidence in God's word. You know, there are many ideas floating around today, aren't there, that say, well, actually, we need to believe this, and we need to believe that, and we need to believe the other. And then we open God's word, and it says, well, look, we need to believe this. There are many false ideas around today, but you know, that's nothing new. The Apostle Peter, when he wrote his second letter, he was having to deal with false teachers. And he was having to get the people to have confidence in God's word as that is what it was. And Peter writes this in 2 Peter 1. He says, look, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a brilliant description of how the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. You see, Peter is saying, look, we can trust the Bible. We can trust what the Old Testament prophets said and was then written down and has become part of Scripture, because they did not write according to their own thoughts. They didn't write according to their own understanding. They didn't write putting their own spin on what they thought was right. It didn't come about that way. Rather, they spoke and then they wrote what God had said to them. Now, of course, God didn't literally dictate everything word for word. But under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they used their own minds to write it. And so just as Jesus was both fully God and man, so the Scripture, the Bible, is God's word and, in a sense, man's word together. It was written by men who knew God's mind in a special way. You know, there aren't people who know God's mind in that special way today. This was for a limited time. It was for a special time. The Bible tells us that ultimately the full revelation of God came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we can have confidence in the Word of God. We can put our hope and our trust in it. We can put our belief in it. Because it is God's Word. And Peter says, look, the prophets who wrote it, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Greek word carried along comes from that sort of imagery of a sailing ship. You know, those lovely pictures of sort of old sailing ships with all their sails out and the wind in their sails, and the ships are moving along the sea. You know, that's what Peter has in mind when he says the prophets were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We thought in week one, didn't we, about the Holy Spirit being the living breath of God, the energizer of creation and the Word. And that is just what Peter has in mind here, as he says the prophets were carried along. They were carried along by that breath, that wind, that living breath of God. They then opened their mouths, and the Holy Spirit guided their thoughts and their tongues. You know, and for that reason, we can have confidence in the Word of God. When the Word of God challenges us, when the Word of God rebukes us, when the Word of God causes us to sit up and take notice that we are sinful people and God is righteous and holy and that He calls us to come to Him and repent, you know, we can sit up and take notice of that because we can believe it is God's Word. It's not man, but it's God's Word. And so we can have confidence that God's own Word, the Bible, was written by the direction of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was going to have a hymn this morning and I forgot to have it. We were thinking about all the songs earlier and, well, yesterday that was, and we were thinking about how we could link them together and bring them to communion. But I was going to have the hymn, God Has Spoken by His Prophets, because one of the verses says that God has spoken by His prophets, spoken His unchanging word, and then the next verse says God has spoken by Christ Jesus, and then the next verse says God is speaking still by His Spirit. He's speaking to our hearts again. In His age-long word, expounding God's own message now as then. That's why the Word of God is living and active. That's why it's sharper than a double-edged sword. That's why it has that ability to penetrate right to our hearts, to the very center of our being, and change us. You know, I wonder if that's how you and I view the Word of God. Do we realize what we have in our hand? Do we realize that it is the way that God speaks and reveals Himself by His Spirit to us? You know, if it's not, we need to rethink. We need to rethink how we come to it. For if we come to it without that understanding, we're not going to hear its voice. But when we prayerfully come, asking the Spirit to reveal the hidden things of God, then it makes such a difference. So if Scripture is the inspired Word of God, and God speaks to us again today in His age-long Word, the second thing is, how does Scripture speak? Well, Scripture speaks by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We don't get many power cuts now. I remember in the sort of the 1970s, do you remember that sort of winter where power was going off all the time? And we had to depend a lot on candlelight and torchlight. And I remember not liking it very much if it was dark and you were at home and then all of a sudden the lights went out and you could never find the matches to light the candles, and you know, you never knew where you'd put your torch or anything. And I can remember as a family we used to fumble around sometimes trying to find the lights. And so a torch is a power cut, is a must, isn't it, for a power cut? We need to have that means by which we can illuminate our house to see where we're going. And the light of that torch shines into the darkness so we can see where we are and what is around us. We thought with the children, didn't we? Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's great. But let's be honest, it's not always easy, is it, to see or to hear what God is saying? It's not always easy to understand every part of Scripture. Some of it is very, very difficult. And some of it takes a lot of digging around and trying to understand it. And very often we struggle so much to get insight into what God is really saying. Psalm 119 also helps us. You know, because if we struggle, then we need to make these things our prayer. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. You know, that's a brilliant way to come before God's word. Seeking the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes so that we might see wonderful things in God's law. It's good to pray, give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. It's good to pray, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. You know, again, my friends, if we come to God's word and it's just dull and dry, and don't get me wrong, we all go through those times. But if that's continually how it is, we need to come and ask God, by the power of his Spirit, to reveal, to open our eyes, to give us that delight as we read his word and hear his voice. And because it is sometimes a struggle, we need that extra illumination. We need that extra light so that we might see and understand and hear clearly. And so just as the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, just as the Holy Spirit inspired those prophets and apostles who wrote it down, so the Holy Spirit works in your life and in my life to illumine God's Word to us. He works to bring us understanding. He sheds more light on the Word. He helps us to hear and receive so that we properly understand. It's a wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You know, you can know a lot about me. And I guess you can know or tell a lot about me from what I do, maybe sometimes what I don't do. You can probably know a lot about me by what I say. But you will never know what goes on in my mind. Now, half the time, I don't know what goes on in my mind either. But that's another story. But, you know, it doesn't matter what you might think you know about me. You don't know what goes on in here. You don't know my secret thoughts. That's a good job, probably, a lot of the time. And I guess it's a good job I don't know your secret thoughts as well. There's one person who tends to know what's in my mind. That's her who should not be named. No, it's my dear wife. You know, she will often say, if I'm sitting there pensive, she'll say, I know what you're thinking. I know what's going through your mind. She's not always right, but she likes to think she is. Of course, sometimes if I'm in my box, my empty box in my mind, then I am just sitting there thinking of nothing, which us men, we can do, can't we? You know, we can just sit there and think of nothing. But what does Paul mean here by this passage that's on the screen from 1 Corinthians? What does Paul mean that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God? Well, there's a commentator called R.C. Sproul. And at our fraternal, we're going through his book, The Essential Truths of the Christian Faith. And he's got a brilliant, helpful comment. He says, it's the Holy Spirit who knows the innermost thoughts of God, who searches the deep things of God. This doesn't mean that the Spirit investigates and inquires into the mind of God. He's not seeking information he lacks, but he searches like a torch, scanning into the night, to bring to light what would otherwise be hidden. The Holy Spirit does that for you. The Holy Spirit does that for me. He illumines the Word of God to our hearts. And so that is why it is so important as we come to read the Word, we don't just pick it up without asking God to reveal what he wants us to know. That will be a futile exercise if we did. But we need to prayerfully ask God to reveal, to show us, to speak to us, that we might truly hear what he says. Let me just make one observation. The Holy Spirit will never ever reveal anything new to you or to me beyond what is already found in the Scripture. The Bible says this is the full and final revelation from God. The Holy Spirit might take and apply what is written to us in a new way. The old truths of the Bible that perhaps we know in our hearts, that sometimes the Holy Spirit then impacts in our minds, the Holy Spirit then impacts them in our hearts. But we will never have any more divine new revelations from God. The Holy Spirit works to tell us what God has already said. That's why in his charge to Timothy, Paul says this, that all Scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. And again, Paul isn't saying that we will find the answer written in black and white to every situation that we're going to encounter in life. You know, there are some situations that we encounter in life where actually the answer is in black and white. But more than often than not, the Scriptures speak and we discover that the Scriptures give us a framework. A framework in which we know the right way to live. A framework in which we know the right thing to do. And so the illumination of the Holy Spirit helps us that to understand that actually in the Scripture we have everything we need for a godly life. Because that knowledge comes as we know God in a deeper way. And as we have a deeper understanding of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul, I'm sure, wrote to the church in Colossae, and he said these words, look, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because it's only when we allow the inspired and illuminated word of God to dwell in us, to shape our lives, to mold us, to bring us more and more to be Christ-like. It's only when we allow that to dwell in our hearts richly that we discover how the Holy Spirit actually brings it to bear upon our life. Through encouragement, through challenge, through rebuke. But the Holy Spirit works. Now there's a word of caution, of course, with all of these things. You know, as a pastor, sometimes people come to me and say, oh, Pastor, God has told me, and then they will say whatever it is. Now, of course, sometimes God does reveal and prompt us in very direct ways. He does bring things to our minds. He does show us. But you know, we always have to test those things against what the Bible says. Because God will never reveal or show us something that is contrary to his word. He does give us visions and ideas. There's a brilliant example in the Old Testament. If you just want to flip back to 1 Chronicles in chapter 28, it's where the temple was being built in Jerusalem. And 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 11 says that David, King David, gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its building, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries of the temple and for the treasuries of the dedicated things. And then in verse 19, David says this, I have in writing from the hand of the Lord upon me. Now, all this, David says, all of these plans, I have in writing from the hand of the Lord upon me, and he has given me understanding in all the details of the plans. You know, God does reveal and prompt us in very direct ways at times. You know, you may smile when I, and some of you did that, when I said, you know, the vision for the alterations to the front of the church, to the foyer, came to me during a Sunday afternoon nap. And so God does reveal to us through different means. I'm not saying he doesn't. But we have to be careful when we say, oh, God told me this. You see, we can imagine in our minds that God is saying something, or that a thought in our mind has come from God, when in reality that is not so. Sometimes the thoughts that we think come from God are nothing more than maybe wishful thinking or our own thoughts. You know, I've had conversations with people who say this, well, look, I don't actually need to come to church to be a Christian. I don't get on with so-and-so, or I don't feel part of the community, so, you know, I can be a Christian on my own. God has told me it's okay. You know, and I've had conversations with people where I said, well, I don't think God's told you that at all. Because God, in His Word, says, don't give up meeting together. And so what you're saying is in direct opposition to God's Word. So God can't have told you that. You know, I've had conversations with people in the past who are Christians and they've started dating somebody who's not a Christian. And because they have fallen in love, then, you know, okay, well, I'm sure God wants me to be happy. But, you know, that's not what God says at all. He says we're not to be unequally yoked. We're not to be out of balance in our relationships. And so it doesn't matter sometimes how much we try to convince ourselves, oh, God has told me this. We always have to test it against Scripture. Is this consistent with God's Word? You see, as the Word dwells in us. And here's the clincher, and Paul was just so exact when he wrote it to the Colossians. As the Word dwells in us richly. And that means as the Word dwells in us abundantly. It has to have impact and importance on our life. It has to be part of our spiritual DNA, our very makeup. And as that happens, then our thought patterns, our worldview, the way we even view simple things, even our common sense in the way we make decisions, become sanctified because the Word of Christ is dwelling in our hearts richly. I've got another quote for you here. I'm sure some of you have read this book, Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. He says this, look, the central purpose of the God-breathed word is not doctrinal purity, although that is important. The central purpose is inner transformation. We should come to the Scripture willing to be changed as the Holy Spirit reveals the word to us. And my friends, as we come towards the end of this series on the Holy Spirit, and as we consider the way the Holy Spirit reveals through God's Word, we have to ask ourselves this question, am I willing to be changed? Am I willing to allow the Holy Spirit to change me as He reveals God's Word? Am I willing to allow that Word to dwell in me richly? So there's the inspired word, there's the illuminated word, and I've run out of alliteration, so you have to forgive me. But lastly, very quickly, the voice of the word. And it's really all about proclamation in the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, the children in Sunday school are looking at the call of Jeremiah, that the way God's Spirit spoke to Jeremiah and called him to be a prophet, one of those prophets who spoke God's word to the people in Old Testament days. And if you read through Jeremiah 1, those early verses, you see that God's Spirit called Jeremiah, spoke to Jeremiah, and gave him that message. And God says that He appointed Jeremiah for just that task. And before Jeremiah was even born, God says He knew him, and He set him apart for that task. You know, we thought just a few weeks back, didn't we, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that empowers mission. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us that boldness and message for the people of today. And we thought then that just as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus says to His disciples, and we're included in that as His disciples today, that just as the Father sent Him, so too He is sending us. As the prophets of old spoke the word of God, as they spoke it in the power of the Holy Spirit. It came with real force. There are times in the Old Testament where you will read that when the prophets spoke the word of God, it sometimes caused uproar. But they spoke it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, more than ever today, the world needs the church to have a prophetic voice. The church needs this prophetic voice, this voice that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's not revealing anything new, because we've got the complete Word of God, but it's proclaiming, it's heralding, it's revealing truth to the world. You know, I wonder if that's how you view your mission, your task. I'm not saying go and stand on speaker's corner and debate and argue the toss, but you know, every time we witness, every time we speak, we need to have a prophetic voice. That voice that is empowered by the Spirit, calling people to a personal trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, urging them to repent and believe the good news, urging them to come, warning them of judgment, warning them of a hell to be shunned and a heaven to be gained. If we seek to do that in our own strength, we will fail. But if by the power of the Spirit and independence upon the Spirit, we seek to be led by Him and guided by Him, we will speak in His power. And you know, my friends, as we come to the end of this series, I wonder, do you sense the Spirit speaking to you? What is the Holy Spirit revealing to you today? Maybe He's revealing that you need to come afresh and recommit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps He's revealing afresh to you that you need to come and again just bow the knee before Him and re-acknowledge Him as your Lord and Saviour. Perhaps you need to do that for the first time. And this morning, perhaps the Holy Spirit is stirring up your heart. If that's so, don't quash the Spirit. Allow Him to speak. Allow Him to draw you to Him. Come and bow the knee. And as we end this series, I'm sure we can say these words together. Thank You, O my Father, for sending us Your Son and leaving Your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Let's pray together, shall we? God, our Father in heaven, we do thank You that we have Your Word. Father, we confess that sometimes we are very commonplace with it. We don't maybe come to it in the right way. Lord, we pray that today Your Spirit might indeed prompt us that we need to come prayerfully, dependent upon Him to reveal the things of God. Father, we pray that You would give each one of us a renewed delight in Your Word, a renewed hunger to hear Your voice. And Lord, we pray that we may then have that prophetic voice as Your people, that we may go out and tell the wonders of Your name. Father, hear our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.